You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people.
Oh, hello everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Breadline. This is Daryl.
And hi, from Jessica.
Yes, and if you're having problems with your job provider or Centrelink, just send us an email at advocacy@ruwu.org.au and someone at the other end will try and help you out with your problems.
And just to mention that the Australian Unemployed Workers Union is run by unemployed people for unemployed people.
And we're all volunteers too.
That's right, but we're full of go.
Oh, certainly.
They haven't ground us down yet.
No.
They're trying.
No. Yeah. All right, so we're first going to talk about what you got there.
Well, what I've
Jessica?
Got is an article that's actually been recycled a couple of times into a few publications, but it's what we've been talking about. In fact, what we talked about last week, it's just about, of course, the terribly low level of job seeker and the other payments, carers payments, student payments and so on. This is also talking about the fact that there's been this Economic Inclusion Advisory Committee, and they've met three times, and three times they've recommended that job seeker and Ausstudy get increased. And it seems like for the third time, they may well be getting ignored once again. So they're really recommending that, or for a start, the committee's chaired by these Labor ministers, got people from the community sector, or of course it would have ACOS, ACOS have been on the news quite a bit talking about how
payments
have got to be raised. Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like every time I switch on the radio that ACOS is talking. Anyway, unions, business and philanthropy. So this gentleman, Peter Whiteford, has done a little bit of an article about it because he's also on this committee. It has made 10 recommendations. Of these, the highest priority is to substantially increase the rates of job seeker. And we're not talking about $2. We're not talking about all this rubbish about, to fit in with inflation and so on. We're talking about a substantial increase to basically the poverty line, which is around $400 to $500 a week.
Yeah.
So they have, of course, looked at the pricings, the costings in the capitalist model, but they are saying that even looking at it through a capitalist lens, that there's a possible return to society they've quantified it as $1.24 for every dollar invested in increasing the job seeker rate. So I suppose that's really to try and make it palatable to the businesses and so on. But they did actually talk to a wide range of people with experience of economic exclusion, which is, they always talk about lived experience of poverty, which as we know is excruciating to be sort of patronised in that way when you're interviewed. And there'll be a bit more on that later because that's the subject of a public Zoom, which is on tonight at 7:30. Yeah, so, I mean, they're saying all the stuff that we talk about as well, but they're restating the fact that if job seeker was increased, it would improve our mental health and we'd have longer lives.
Yeah, I think the worst hit are the ones that are on sickness benefits or whatever they call it now.
Well, it's job seeker, really.
Yeah, but you have the other ones that can't work.
Well, they get exemptions to varying degrees, like 3 months, for example, of having to look for jobs. But
yeah.
I often talk about the example of the woman who came to one of our AWU meetings in Wonthaggi who had to carry the oxygen tank with her, and she was still being expected to look for jobs.
Anyone's going to employ someone dragging an oxygen tank behind them.
As well as, having to put up with health conditions, you're meant to go through this farce of looking for jobs. It also says that decreased use of the healthcare system and reduced levels of contact with the criminal justice system would result if they increased it. So, yeah, they've done a bit of number crunching as well on single private renters. They say that renters in capital cities would need an increase of nearly 45% in total payments to cover their costs.
Yeah, easy. At least.
Yeah. And then single public renters in Fitzroy Crossing, a remote town in Western Australia, of course, mainly First Nations people there, would need an increase in support of nearly 67% to cover the extra cost of food and transport. Because as we know, another study showed that the cost of food is double in remote communities. So that's an extra tax, really, on people.
Yeah.
And it's, of course, that they come out with that rubbish about that it's all to do with petrol war. It's really to do with what they can extract from people who maybe there's just one local shop, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
So they've done in the car. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the people on sickness benefits, even with long-term illness. Mm. Yeah, I've heard so many stories of them. They have to decide, should I buy my medication or buy food? And they can't afford both.
That's right. Well, the stats they've got is, that you're 14 times more likely to lack a substantial meal at least once a day.
Yeah. So they're the worst hit.
And then, as we've mentioned before, Australia is near the bottom of the advanced economic nations when it comes to the adequacy of payments.
Mm-hmm.
And we rank slightly better for the long-term unemployed. But the job seeker payment and related payments have mainly been indexed in line with the consumer price index. And that's has caused them to fall significantly below benchmarks like the age pension. So, it's just all playing with numbers. And it's the basic thing is people can't afford to, say, have a roof over their heads and eat at the same time, which is why there's a lot more people squatting, living in tents, and I'll talk more about that later.
Yeah, to mention the short of housing there.
Yeah, that's right, or sheds. The other thing is, of course, the research found that 45% of wage owners permanently leave a violent partner the first time they try to leave. But if you get income support, this figure falls to 26%. In other words, there are economic reasons why people stay with violent partners. And survivors don't access the emergency financial support payments often when leaving their violent relationship. So, the whole thing leads to a perfect storm, which is why you had people on the advice line talking to you for possibly even over an hour, because it was just so nice to be able to talk to someone who wasn't a bureaucrat.
Yeah.
But years ago we had a whole raise the rate campaign. We had and I got my local council to all vote. Actually, they voted unanimously to support raising the rate. Mm. And that was quite good, because I thought I'd have a bit of trouble with that one. But again, all these little campaigns, they bubble along, but it hasn't actually made them say, right, we've got to do it this time.
Yeah, I know. They have a lot of talk and meetings things like that. And then in the end, not a lot happens, really, is
it? No, it's a lot more of the same. So it looks at it, apparently for this year's report, which I'm just sort of reading out some stats from, the committee commissioned research from an economics consulting firm called Mandala to calculate these figures. Mm. And, I really wonder how much Mandala was paid. It won't be peanuts.
No.
It won't be $300 a week, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
If you're a renter with problems such as repairs, getting your bond back, negotiating a rent hike, or facing eviction, it helps to know your rights. For free information and advice on renting, you can visit Tenants Victoria at www.tenants.vic.org.au, Arnica Legal at www.anikalegal.com, or contact your nearest community legal centre. The government is planning to demolish and redevelop high-rise public housing towers in Melbourne. If you're living in a public housing tower and need free legal advice about your options, find your nearest community legal centre at www.fclc.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
Yes, so I was going to tell you a bit about the renters' rights and the housing situation just down my way, because as listeners might know, I live in Wonthaggi, which is a couple of hours outside Melbourne, down past Phillip Island. And so we've actually been doing renters' rights sessions once a month for the last probably 3 years. So I helped out with that last week. And first of all, we had a lady who had just multiple issues of things wrong with her house and also a rent rise. And basically they were trying to punish her for having complained about the things wrong and were threatening her with this rent rise, basically.
Well, that's illegal in itself.
Well, that's right. So the nice thing is one of our members went straight down to the estate agent with her. But one of the, as I'm a retired electrician, I was pretty shocked by this. That apparently there was water dripping into one of her light fittings, so it was filling up with water.
Nothing like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, so I said, well, that's, as we already knew, that's an urgent repair, and so we're on to it. We'll be back onto them. But the other thing they do, they've got 7 days to fix that, basically. But the other thing we're going to be doing is making the point that she's an older lady at over 80, and they're expecting her to download an app.
Of course, because
they said, oh, it's really easy. You take a photograph of the repair. Well, sorry. And so our member, we've got a group down there, Housing Matters Bass Coast, and our member said, no, sorry, there's no app involved in this. We just want it fixed. We want this whole list of things done. So,
and there's nothing in the regulations that says it has to be an app.
But they try and push people into these. And again, it just adds another layer of stress. And the other issue that came up was a man who's been living in a unit in a caravan park for 12 years. He thought he was actually just, it was all smooth. Mm-hmm. It's quite a nice place. Of course, probably when the seas rise due to climate change, it's going to go under. But at the moment, it's really quite nice. And he's been just given a notice to say he has to get out in a few months. He's got a bit of time, but it doesn't take away from the fact that he was under the impression he had security there. And they're going to kick the permanent residents out and rent them out for holiday lets.
More money, in other words.
More money, yeah. This is a trend that's happening. The owner of the company, I think they own 10 caravan parks around Australia. So anyway, we're on to that, and we're going to be meeting him this week to try and work on that campaign. But again, it's the whole housing crisis, and it really feels like, for me, it feels like it hit last week, because I had two other friends, single men, who were short of a place to live, and they were saying, do I know anywhere?
Yeah.
And then on the front page of the local paper, there was squatters camp. And some people are camping down by the beach, basically.
Yeah.
And they're on some land which they can't be kicked off immediately, which is a good thing as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's great. But a guy in the caravan, you say he's only got a few months to find another place.
That's right. But there are people, older people, who've lived there for 15 years, and they're in a complete panic, of course. Again, that's that added
stress.
Oh,
so he's not the only one.
No, there's 10 units all going. And with the squatters camp, I was a bit, when I read it more carefully, the article, it turns out I knew the people who'd been having a big complaint as well to the local paper about squatters.
Because I remember the last place I rented privately, it took me 9 months to find somewhere, and I was only after a one-bedroom flat or something, but I ended up having to take on a two-bedroom flat.
Because it was more rent. And more heating and all that kind of thing.
And I didn't have any choice, you know. No. I had to take it.
And that would have been a few years ago.
Yeah, well, where I am now, I've been there, 20 years ago now.
Congrats, public housing, yay.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So, but even back then, it still took me 9 months to find a place.
That's right.
Things are much worse now.
I'll be giving you an update in future episodes of Breadline, because it really feels as if it's just hit us at the moment. Of course, we're onto it, and I'm trying to link my friends up with the people who are looking for places. And anyway, if you've got those problems in the city, get onto Rahu Rental and Housing Union.
Yeah, and it's not easy looking for a job when you're homeless either, is it? You know, it doesn't help, that's for sure.
No, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, you're listening to Breadline here. My name is Daryl and I'm here with Jessica, my co-host, and this show is brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union.
Yeah, thanks, Daryl. Yeah, so last week we had Jay Coonan from the Anti-Poverty Centre on.
And yeah, that was a great interview, yeah. That one. Yeah.
And amongst other things, he was talking about the Zoom that they're having, which is on it. They didn't put it on last week because of the floods up in Queensland and so on. So mm-hmm. It's on actually tonight, which is, I know, very short notice to people who might be listening right now. But they did send out emails, and just going to give the link now, but I'll give it as well at the end. So it's on at 7:30 this evening, so you might be able to have time to grab a quick bite to eat, and then you might want to join it. So it's https://meet.jit.si/talkingaboutpoverty. And it's highly likely you missed that, but I'll give it again at the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so this is part of a series of events building up to the Anti-Poverty Summit, which is happening in Mianjin in June. But so this
something to look forward to.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. And so the information is that they've got quite a few panelists. They've got panelists sharing insights related to how the media covers welfare, which relates to what I was saying before about they do these studies and they talk to people who have lived experience, and yeah. It's all very upsetting, I think. Mm. The role of professional welfare advocates and why poor people must be the leading voices. And so they've got Caspian Bahram Shahi Willett, who's from the Anti-Poverty Network Queensland, May Aziz, Anglicare Australia and Everybody's Home, Rick Morton, who I've definitely heard of before. He writes for The Age and he wrote a book about robo-debt.
Right.
And then Fiona Moore, who's a member of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union and also part of Nobody Deserves Poverty. And then Kristen O'Connell from the Anti-Poverty Centre. So, yeah, they're going to be...
Sounds like a great lineup there.
Good discussion. So I may be able to catch a little bit of it because we do have our meeting, our local Melbourne meeting on tonight. So that's where Daryl and I will be off to next. There's also this week a press conference at Parliament House on Thursday, the 20th of March, because it's 5 years since the government showed that it could end poverty and put the COVID supplement in place and then promptly removed it again. So that's happening, and I know that one of the union, our union members, is going to be there speaking about how, of course, it should never have been removed and it should be reinstated as an automatic thing, as we were saying, so that JobSeeker goes up and AusStudy as well.
Mm, yeah.
So can I repeat that link again? Or if you
Yeah.
If you missed it, just go to the Anti-Poverty Centre on the one that everyone uses now? Instagram, yeah.
Instagram.
Find them on Instagram.
Right.
But it's called, and the link is meet.jit.si/talkingaboutpoverty. So that's the platform that they use, Jitsi.
Right.
So, yeah, should be an interesting discussion. And what they're trying to do is just counter the whole thing about the well-meaning professionals talking about what it's like to live in poverty, because they don't in a lot of cases.
Yeah, all these big meetings they have, especially in Canberra and Parliament and all that, they never have anyone that's kind of lived that.
Yeah, that's right.
Or are living that, do
it's
they?
It's all chin-stroking sort of stuff. And, it's not really good enough.
Yeah.
Next week, you've got something planned for the show?
Yeah, next week I'll be talking to Tracy Smallwood. She's just been elected...
Coordinator of Advocacy for the Union.
Yes. So that should be interesting. And that's about it so far for next week. Well, I don't like to plan ahead too
something
far
dramatic.
Because, yeah, something dramatic comes up and then, yeah, you've got to change everything here. But anyway, we better head on out now.
Ready for the Eritrean Voices.
Yep, they're coming up next, so stay tuned for them. You've been listening to Breadline. I'm Daryl.
And I'm Jessica, so see you later. Bye.
Good night.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.